The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We're standing by for a concession speech from Kamala Harris, but a very good question came in on the text line. If J.D. Vance were to run for president in 2028, could he appoint Trump as his vice president? By the way, Trump would be 82 or 83 by that point. I believe the answer is no. And somebody points out on online, the very last line of the 12th Amendment reads, "But no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of president shall be eligible to that of vice president."
That is correct.
Of the United States.
Because if something were to happen to J.D., then Trump would have to take over, and he would not be allowed to
and
do so.
And so he would jump to the Speaker of the House. So a two-term president is no longer eligible to be vice president of the United States. Now, a president, after leaving office, is eligible to either return to Congress. One president, I believe, did that back in the 1800s. And you're also eligible to become a Supreme Court justice. Taft became a Supreme Court justice after he left the presidency. He is the only person in American history to serve in all three branches of government. Served in the Congress, served in the White House, and served in the U.S. Supreme Court. That's right.
Presidential history can be fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Along with civics.
Yes. He received a mile-high clubbing.
Oh, man, this guy got a whooping.
An unruly passenger was beaten to a pulp after attempting to open the emergency door on a flight from Brazil to Panama, as seen in a viral Twitter video taking off online. A flight attendant started screaming, and another tried to hold him back, but could not because he was too strong, said photojournalist Cristiano Carvalho, 51, who recorded the scene. The kerfuffle reportedly broke out Tuesday morning aboard a Copa Airlines flight from Brazil to Panama City.
Can you describe the kerfuffle?
We cannot.
Okay.
It was a ruckus.
Sounds more like a melee.
The flight had been going swimmingly until 30 minutes before landing when said flyer rushed to the back of the plane with a plastic knife from his food tray and attempted to take a flight attendant hostage with the goal of opening the plane door.
Okay.
I thought those doors were not openable.
Unless there was a cabin pressure drop.
Or the plane was on the ground.
You can't just D.B. Cooper yourself out of there, can you?
They can do their best to open the door, but it doesn't matter how strong this guy is. He's not breaking that seal.
That's when passengers sprang to the rescue and fought the man to stop him from his apparent premature deplaning attempt a la D.B. Cooper.
Does it really say that in the story?
No.
Oh.
It should.
Despite initially struggling due to the man's strength, these sky-high Samaritans eventually succeeded in restraining the airhead, and it does say airhead, after beating him to a bloody pulp.
So you've seen the zoomed in on the face of the guy who just lost, or won for that matter, MMA fight or boxing fight.
Yeah, that's what this looks like.
That's what this guy looked like. His nose is broken in about three places. His jawbone looks like it has been removed and reattached a couple of times.
Looks like he fell down a bunch.
He wishes that his nose had been ripped off. That would have been a good day for him.
Mesa police have identified, I think it was five killed after a plane crashed and hit a car in Arizona yesterday afternoon. Sadly, I think one of them they are reporting is 5 years old, Scott. A crash happened around 4:45 just southwest of Falcon Field Airport. According to the NTSB, preliminary information indicates a Honda HA-420 jet tried to abort the takeoff before crashing through an airport perimeter fence and then colliding with a car on the other side on Greenfield Road. Heavy smoke could be seen billowing from the road near the airport where the plane and car collided. Five people on board, three of them in their 40s. A child, Graham Kimball, age 12. Mm. Terribly sad. They are investigating what caused that crash.
Story here from CNN. I know how much you love stories about the Titanic. A postcard written by a first-class passenger on the Titanic will go up for auction later this month. Richard William Smith. I mean, that sounds rich.
Oh, yeah.
Richard William Smith.
The third.
A British businessman scrawled a message in pencil to a Mrs. Olive Dakin in Norwich, England. The card is postmarked 3:45 p.m., April 11th, 1912.
Wow.
Did he write YOLO?
Wow. Dan.
Get out.
He wrote, "We're going down. I'm yelling timber. You better move.
Both of you dance. Both of you.
It's a night we won't remember."
Okay, can I ask a question? Did he write that, survive the crash, and then kept it for years in an attic and their auction? Or is this one of those things that somehow survived under the depths in a seal of some sort and was brought up?
I'm looking for that answer.
While you look, let me add the second item that is on this auction block.
He wrote it 3 days before it hit the iceberg.
Okay.
That tells me he wrote it while he was on the ship.
But how did it get off the ship?
That's what I'm working to find out.
Listen to this. A pocket watch frozen in time during the Titanic sinking is also on the auction block. And I cannot believe how low this price seems to me. The watch is among several rare pieces recovered from the ill-fated ship. I'm going to show you a photo of the watch. My God.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Beautiful. Old, yeah. Old pocket watch. And it is stalled right at $4.54 p.m. They believe that this will fetch $100,000. I cannot believe it would go for that low. And the postcard, by the way, managed to survive the ship's sinking, most likely because Smith's friend, Emily Nichols, disembarked at Queenstown in southern Ireland. According to the postmark, she posted the missive from Cork at 3:45 p.m. April 11th. They think that will fetch somewhere between $7,500 and $13,000.
Okay, so it was not on the Titanic. I'm trying to find. Okay, got it.
This is so cool.
He had written the postcard while he was on the Titanic, writing it to Mrs. Olive Dakin. But he was traveling with another woman by the name of...
Oh!
No, I don't know about that. Mrs. Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
But Mrs. Nichols was only on the Titanic from its departure, wherever it departed from in England, to Queenstown, Ireland. She disembarked
with the postcard.
With the postcard, but he wrote it on the Titanic.
Okay, what a tangled web we weave.
So this postcard is basically an old version of HMU.
No, Dan, it is not. I'm sure it was very lovely. And
what's HMU stand for?
Hit me up.
Oh.
Yo, Olive, HMU.
Sup, girl?
Sup. New phone, who dis?
Come on, text line. Enjoy like the French ladies.
Did he write, P.S., there was definitely enough room on the door?
Yes, he did. Listen to the story of the watch.
You guys are terrible.
This is way better. Accounts from the night of April 14th suggest that the watch wearer jumped off the ship's deck holding a deck chair. He did not survive. His body was recovered about a week later by a cable ship. The watch was on his person.
Do you know his name?
It still bears damage from its submersion in salt water and was found stuck forever, reading the time 4:53 a.m., just 2 hours and 33 minutes after the boat sunk. So the watch hung in there for 2 hours and 30 minutes, and then it is frozen in time the way you see it in that photo I showed you.
It was owned by a John Jacob Astor IV.
Ah, from the Astor family.
That is correct.
Mm. There are actually, Scott, two pocket American watches royalty that they are auctioning off. One of them was the Astor watch. This one.
Oh, this is a different one.
Was belonged to a man. I cannot pronounce that last name. That's why I didn't say it. His belongings, upon finding his body, were returned to his family in Uruguay. who chose not to restore the watch, but to keep it as an artifact frozen in time, which is why it's, I would rather have it frozen in time if you're going to spend the money on something like that.
Oh, I would too. I wouldn't fix it. I would leave it just the way it was.
Put it up on the mantle.
Yeah. We are standing by for the concession speech from Kamala Harris. She has not taken the stage as of yet. The crowd outside of Howard University is massive.
They just took the time to fix all of the flags on the stage.
Okay, so that must mean we're getting close.
We're getting some movement.
We will take a quick break. We will bring this speech to you live here on Dana and Parks. Does nobody in political office have a watch?
You know, the only two apps I pay for that renew automatically every year, there's two.
Okay.
The Radar app that I use probably 20 times a week, and then the Calm app, which isn't cheap. It's like $60 a year.
Oof.
And that's where you go at the end of the night to listen to Bob Ross painting or
tap, 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 story waves.
By Cillian Murphy or Matthew McConaughey. It's all calming meditation. Someone just tweeted this, and I missed this last night in the middle of all of the just fire hose to the face coverage over the last 24 hours. It went blank on what appears to be like a CNN or an MSNBC. The screen just went blank with this very calming blue behind it. And it says, we bought this ad space to give you 30 seconds of silence. Yep. Just silence. And for 30 seconds, it is a slate that just says those words. And then at the very end, the icon for the Calm app pops up. Now, that is a brilliant
placement
of an ad.
The only thing that would have been better was if it were like Bob Ross saying,
tap, 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 tap. A little happy tapping. Just tap, happy tap. Tapping. Happy little trees.
Look at those trees.
You know, they've studied that. Like, there's something about the tapping of the brush on the canvas and then also the tone and the intonation and the cadence of his voice.
Well, was he the original ASMR?
Yes.
You know, there's all those videos now all over social media where it's like the product unveiling and they tap on everything with their fingernails before they open it.
Yeah, it's something about the not just the way his voice sounds, but with the brushes on the canvas. And they've studied brains listening to that. And even if you weren't a Bob Ross fan, and it does lower your blood pressure at the end of the day.
Is he still on TV? I know he's passed.
I think his reruns might be.
I believe that is true.
But if you watch that documentary, his name in death was stolen right out from under him.
Well, his name in life, he didn't make hardly any money off of anything he ever did.
That documentary is worth your time.
Yeah.
It's something.
Did I remember correctly? He was not as wonderful.
No, he was wonderful. He was not business savvy.
Okay.
And so
he was taken advantage of by
couple
absolutely
attached
everyone.
To him and start taking the name and start selling cheaper paints and start trying to monetize his name. And in death, somehow he loses the rights to his name. So even his own son, who's a painter, does not profit. All the stuff that you see out there, you can get Bob Ross on toaster. You can get Bob Ross on a chia head. His family gets none of that.
There's posters of Bob Ross that you can buy at Walmart.
Own the rights. His estate does not own the rights to his name.
Really?
Oh, that documentary is something else.
I think we're getting close. Tim Walz is in the house.
Yeah, I saw Tim Walz just walk out. Come on, Kamala. It is 3:24 in the afternoon. This was supposed to start at 3.
Everybody's got their phones up.
Okay. Wait, whoa, hang on. Cheers and applause, and here she comes. Let's go to coverage now from ABC News, live on Dana and Parks.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So let me say, And I love you back. And I love you back. So let me say, my heart is full today. My heart is full today, full of gratitude for the trust you have placed in me, full of love for our country, and full of resolve. The outcome of this election is not what we wanted, not what we fought for, not what we voted for. But hear me when I say, the light of America's promise will always burn bright as long as we never give up and as long as we keep fighting. To my beloved Doug and our family, I love you so very much. To President Biden and Dr. Biden, thank you for your faith and support. To Governor Walz and the Walz family, I know your service to our nation will continue. And to my extraordinary team, to the volunteers who gave so much of themselves, to the poll workers and the local election officials, I thank you all. Look, I am so proud of the race we ran and the way we ran it. And the way we ran it over the 107 days of this campaign, we have been intentional about building community and building coalitions, bringing people together from every walk of life and background, united by love of country, with enthusiasm and joy in our fight for America's future. And we did it with the knowledge that we all have so much more in common than what separates us. Now, I know folks are feeling and experiencing a range of emotions right now. I get it. But we must accept the results of this election. Earlier today, I spoke with President-elect Trump and congratulated him on his victory. I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition, and that we will engage in a peaceful transfer of power. A fundamental principle of American democracy is that when we lose an election, we accept the results. That principle, as much as any other, distinguishes democracy from monarchy or tyranny. And anyone who seeks the public trust must honor it. At the same time, in our nation, we owe loyalty not to a president or a party, but to the Constitution of the United States. And loyalty to our conscience and to our God. My allegiance to all three is why I am here to say, while I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign. The fight for freedom, for opportunity, for fairness, and the dignity of all people. A fight for the ideals at the heart of our nation, the ideals that reflect America at our best. That is a fight I will never give up. I will never give up the fight for a future where Americans can pursue their dreams, ambitions, and aspirations where the women of America have the freedom to make decisions about their own body and not have their government telling them what to do. We will never give up the fight to protect our schools and our streets from gun violence. And America, we will never give up the fight for our democracy, for the rule of law, for equal justice, and for the sacred idea that every one of us, no matter who we are or where we start out, has certain fundamental rights and freedoms that must be respected and upheld. And we will continue to wage this fight in the voting booth, in the courts, and in the public square. And we will also wage it in quieter ways, in how we live our lives, by treating one another with kindness and respect, by looking in the face of a stranger and seeing a neighbor, by always using our strength to lift people up, to fight for the dignity that all people deserve. The fight for our freedom will take hard work, but like I always say, we like hard work. Hard work is good work. Hard work can be joyful work. And the fight for our country is always worth it. It is always worth it. To the young people who are watching, it is... I love you. To the young people who are watching, it is okay to feel sad and disappointed. But please know it's going to be okay. On the campaign, I would often say, when we fight, we win. But here's the thing. Sometimes the fight takes a while. That doesn't mean we won't win. The important thing is don't ever give up. Don't ever stop trying to make the world a better place. You have power. And don't you ever listen when anyone tells you something is impossible because it has never been done before. You have the capacity to do extraordinary good in the world. And so to everyone who is watching, do not despair. This is not a time to throw up our hands. This is a time to roll up our sleeves. This is a time to organize, to mobilize, and to stay engaged for the sake of freedom and justice and the future that we all know we can build together. Look, many of you know I started out as a prosecutor, and throughout my career I saw people at some of the worst times in their lives, people who had suffered great harm and great pain, and yet found within themselves the strength and the courage and the resolve to take the stand, to take a stand, to fight for justice, to fight for themselves, to fight for others. So let their courage be our inspiration. Let their determination be our charge. And I'll close with this. There's an adage an historian once called a law of history, true of every society across the ages. The adage is, only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. I know many people feel like we are entering a dark time, but for the benefit of us all, I hope that is not the case. But here's the thing, America, if it is, let us fill the sky with the light of a brilliant, brilliant billion of stars. The light of optimism, of faith, of truth, and service. H.U. And may that work guide us, even in the face of setbacks, toward the extraordinary promise of the United States of America. I thank you all. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. I thank you all.
That is the concession speech from Kamala Harris. It lasted the better part of 15 minutes, and you heard it live here on KMBZ.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here out of Oregon comes to you from the New York Post. An ambulance slammed into a cyclist in Oregon, breaking his nose, smashing his bike, and then billed him more than $1,800 for a ride to the hospital, according to a new lawsuit.
You cannot make this up.
William Hesch, 71 years old, is suing Columbia River Fire and Rescue for nearly $1 million, claiming an ambulance driver for the company left him with the outrageous bill along with permanent injuries and roughly $100,000 in medical expenses. Hesch was pedaling through the tiny town of Rainier near the Columbia River in October of 2022 when the big red ride plowed into him while trying to make a right turn, crushing him under the wheel of the ambulance, according to the lawsuit filed on October 24th. The driver, who was going between 2 and 10 miles per hour, heard a thump, then stopped and rushed Hesch to a hospital, according to the lawsuit. The crash left him covered in blood, destroyed his bicycle, caused him long-term injuries, such as decreased range of motion and reduced grip. To add insult to injury, the ambulance company later sent him a bill for $1,862 for giving him a lift to the hospital.
Could they not have foreseen this lawsuit coming?
There are even pictures of the guy's bike underneath the front right tire of the ambulance.
Could they not have foreseen the guy on his bike and not run him over?
Amen. When you're going 2 miles an hour? That takes a lot of nerve.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and give you a ride to the hospital.
Now, my childhood best friend and I were crossing the street one time and not following the appropriate guidelines of crossing the street. We were just crossing. We were jaywalking, okay?
Okay.
And all of the lanes were backed up at the stoplight except for the far right turn lane, and we were just waltzing through like nothing was happening, and an ambulance was flying down that turn lane at full speed. And I thought to myself, at least the ambulance is right there in case one of us got hit, we could have been taken care of quickly. I didn't think we would have been charged in that scenario.
By the way, jaywalking is not illegal in every state.
Not in Missouri anymore.
Nope.
One of his medical bills, just one, because, you know, 71 years old and broke a bunch of bones and all that stuff, is about $47,000 with more medical expenses coming.
Takes a lot of nerve.
Yes, it does.
A lot of nerve.
Yes, it does.
From the text line, and I'll just address these occasionally as they come in. Are you guys going to be airing Donald Trump's victory speech now that you aired Kamala's concession speech? I guess if he gives another one today, we'll air it. But he gave his victory speech at 1:30 in the morning. I know you guys want us to get into politics today. We're not going to do it.
Which side would you have me argue? Because it's only going to piss off the other half.
That's exactly right.
Also, they're asking where the traffic report was. I'm sorry, the vice president was talking.
Yes.
The billion websites that are out there that you can go find the information you're looking for, that's what that is there for. You can go find CNN. You can go find Fox News. You can find MSNBC. I don't care. We don't talk about politics on this program for a reason. We didn't in 2020.
We as
hell are not going to talk about it in 2024. If, God forbid, he would take the podium during the body of this program,
we will air it.
We will air it.
That's exactly right.
We do not have control over whether or not he decides to take to the podium during the body of this program. If it happens outside of this program, not my problem.
That's not our decision. But Trump, just so we're clear, everybody, for those of you who are just literally badgering us on the text line, about why are you not talking? I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. Trump won, she lost. In 2020, I would have told you Trump lost, Biden won. And that was the extent of the politics that we talked in November of 2020. We didn't have a conversation about the election. Everybody else is doing it. We're trying to do something a little bit different. And not talk about what every other single news station in America is talking about, because it's boring.
How about those Chiefs?
How about those Chiefs? They're doing great.
By the way, Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce addressed the cell phone smashgate, which is, I need to workshop that. That's too many words. On their podcast today.
Travis said no apology needed. You were defending your family, and I agree.
Well,
he did say Jason said his biggest regret was using the word back.
Using the word back.
Yeah.
And I wish he had not done that. But I do believe the words hurled at him by that idiot in the Penn State sweatshirt were fighting words. Did you see, by the way, DeAndre Hopkins, D-Hop,
apparently also known as Nuke,
with one of the catches of the year. This past weekend.
Oh, that was so good.
Did you see that prior to him coming to Arrowhead, like there were stories about this where his mother happens to be blind and there are these videos of him where he will catch the football. Like, say, let's say he would have a touchdown. He would run and find her in the stands and hand her the ball. She is blind.
Yeah.
And this story comes to us in the Kansas City Star today. It will make you smile. DeAndre Hopkins leading his blind mother through Arrowhead endears him to fans. He obviously had a huge night Monday night at Arrowhead, scoring two touchdowns in the Chiefs win over Tampa Bay. It was what he did after the game that warmed the hearts of Chiefs fans and prompted them to declare him a great fit for Chiefs Kingdom and a good son. He was seen leading his mother, Sabrina Greenlee, through the stadium, his arms wrapped protectively around her shoulders, his arm tight around her waist. I did not know this, Scott. Greenlee was left blind after a woman threw acid in her face.
Oh, my word.
In July of 2002. She writes about the attack in a new memoir, Grant Me Vision, A Journey of Family, Faith, and Forgiveness, for which Hopkins wrote the foreword.
I'll be damned. Did he only sign a one-year contract with the Chiefs? Do I remember that correctly? When he was acquired from the Titans?
I'm sure, considering the cap space situation.
I tell you what, I hope they make room for him and sign him to a long-term deal. I love this guy. He is fantastic. Not only does he play great, he just seems to be an all-around good guy.
Well, he's had a sticky.
And look at his cleats.
So have we all.
Look at his cleats, you guys. When he was newly acquired from the Tennessee Titans, he debuted with the Chiefs against the Raiders in Vegas last week wearing cleats that honored his mother with Braille symbols on the shoes.
Wow. 913-586-7798. She's Dana Wright. That guy is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Yes, there is a reason we are playing the great post-sex nachos, because today is National Nachos Day.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a day I can get behind.
It celebrates and commemorates the day in 1940 when a line cook in Mexico named Nacho ran out of food.
Are you kidding me?
So he baked up whatever was left, some tortillas, a little cheese, and some pickled jalapenos. Yep. By the way, $2 nacho deals at 7-Eleven right now across the country, according to this story here. Yep. Invented by a man named Nacho.
Who knew?
You do now.
What do you call the cheese that's not yours?
Okay.
Nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese.
All right. Out.
I had to think about that for just a second.
Out.
It's nacho cheese.
One of my favorite dumb dad jokes.
Research has shown the numerous positive benefits that come with good sleep habits. Now a new study from Baylor University shows that even subtle changes in the amount of sleep, in fact, only 46 extra minutes of sleep per night, are linked to improvements to overall well-being, including a beneficial impact on a person's gratitude, flourishing, resilience, and pro-social behaviors.
Now, I'd love to talk to the scientists that conducted this study and get a little bit more insight into their results. Does that mean that if my first alarm goes off at 45 minutes, you know, before the 8-hour mark, and I then sleep for an extra 45 minutes, that it's more beneficial?
No.
Or does that first alarm need to go off at the 8-hour mark, and then I hit snooze and sleep for more?
No.
For 45 more minutes?
You have to take the snooze out of the equation, because that's not real sleep.
But that's what it's talking about, is hitting the snooze button and going back to sleep.
I think that is fake sleep. How many of us have hit snooze and actually felt better?
I don't set an alarm.
I hit snooze every single morning.
I know, but I've done it before too, Sam. Once, twice, three times. I don't think it makes you sleep better or longer. It's interrupted fake sleep.
Why do you set an alarm?
Typically, I wake up before the alarm, and then I think to myself, I've got more time to sleep, and then I wake up to the alarm.
What time do you set your alarm for? 11:30?
No, 6:45.
He gets up early.
Why?
I don't even know you.
To go to the gym.
Why don't you just get up whenever you get up and go to the gym and then go to work?
You know, I was at Target the other day, Scott, and I happened upon the sleepy aisle. And, you know, I've had Z-Quil before. I've tried Ambien, doesn't really do it for me. And then they've got these melatonin gummy bears.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this.
Oh, I take those.
For a while. I don't know if it's going to be like this forever. Like, does it build up so it doesn't work as well? The last three nights, I have slept better than I have ever slept in my entire life.
I remember when I told Dr. Buss that I took 4 to 5 melatonins a night.
Oh.
He looked up at me and said, "Are you trying to kill yourself?"
Yeah, you're ODing on melatonin.
Yeah, I was.
It's a natural substance.
So now I just use one.
It's not like taking a prescription.
He said it has a U-shaped effect. If you take too much, you're actually doing...
It makes you jittery.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. Like when I was taking 4, I couldn't figure out why I wasn't falling asleep.
Your body's trying to figure out how to process it.
News with Dan Weinbaum comes your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Aren't we all, Sam?
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.